feel the power of empowerment. Let's do it. Oh, yeah. Empowerment Saturday, African-American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. So, man, Marvin, Rowan, and the crew. I'm coming to you live. We got brother Kevin Land in the house today. We'll be talking about what they forgot to tell us in school. You don't want to miss this one. It's pretty good. It's education, knowledge, it's empowerment, and it's important. Come on in. Sit down, relax. Get your favorite beverage, some popcorn, a snack. That's what you do. And let's get into it. There is no greater love than for self and kind. No greater love. Welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of you know what, for you know who. It's the possibility, it's the potential, it's the work, it's the idea, it's the thought, it's the manifestation, it's the continuous development of African-American community, culture, education, all mixed together. It's a hodgepodge of sources and resources, ideas, networking, communication, and all those things that we need to stack up. So we need to start stacking up wins, y'all. Little wins, right? Big gains and little wins, right? However you want to stack it up, the work has to be done. And the work has to be done by us, for us, and with us. That's the main thing here, right? How can we continue to do this work if we don't have a direction and a purpose? And we have to continue to feed our people direction and purpose, but also correction for direction, right? Because many of us are just off track, right? But we don't know ourselves. And when you know yourself, brothers and sisters, when you know who you are, then the work gets easier. The patience begin to come. The practices start to develop. And those potential ideas begin to be birthed inside of you that begins to help our community grow and change, right? All you got to do me a favor, right? Go to wherever there's a centralized population of African Americans and look at what it looks like, right? Now, there are communities. But most of the time in every city you go to, there's poverty, right? There's dysfunction. And I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on healing and repair, right? How do we heal? How do we repair from the situation that we find ourselves in this country, in this reality, by the systems that's created that we have to learn to navigate? The whole idea is, can you navigate the system? Teach, train, and develop our people to navigate the system. System one, right? It's politics, right? If you're going to live in this country, you have to have a political agenda. Fellas, ladies, I'm spelling out peace. We need peace in our lives. We need a political agenda to understand the levels of system that are engaged in politics, the legal system, the policing system, right? The system of judging, the system of politics. All of those things work together. We have to have a well-rounded understanding or a well-rounded education for what the political system does, how it works, and how we can engage the plug-in to get the next thing is economics, right? The economic platform to do and to build, to have to exchange resources with one another. That's the way. Understanding capitalism, how it works, and then navigating capitalism, right? I'm not saying become a capitalist. I think you were birthed into it, but I don't think we understand capitalism. Right, and how it could best benefit us if we learn how to play outside of the boundaries that's been created through the system for us, right? So when we start stepping outside of the boundaries and operating differently, things will change, right? When we start spending our money and building businesses and institutions that define our own reality, circulating our money inside of our own communities and building infrastructure wherever we are to help support, develop, teach, train, educate our people. That is the work that needs to be done. The next is the A is personal, right? Look at yourself and say, I got to get my A together. That's your act, but also your athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, right? Do an assessment of where your health is, right? Mental health, physical health, emotional health, and then start taking the steps to improve it, right? You always want to be at your best. You want to always be a level A in terms of increasing your health. Your health and your wellness is so important to maintain your vitality, right? But that's, again, mental health, emotional health, physical health, and spiritual health. And those are the things that we have to do. Next is C, relevant cultural programs like this one and the education that you're going to get today from Brother Kebulin. What I want you to do right now, text somebody, right? There's a link. Get on the link. Send the link. blogtalkradio.com, African American or AA Empowerment, right? And just go out there and tell somebody, hey, listen, or 845-277-9250. But that's later. We have to be able to get an education of who we are and get that in our people so they won't be self-destructive. Because when you know who you are, you can love who you are. And that's the work of knowing and loving who we are. And next, it's a comprehensive education, right? It's just not in the classroom, but you have to be a lifelong learner. And you got to want to learn and you got to want to grow, because the more educated we are, the better off we are in this society. And now it's the Stan Macklin moment. Thank you all for joining us.
Hey, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brothers and sisters, Brother Stan is so right. We got to stop getting in to fit in and get our own institutions up to par, our HBCUs up to par, right? Par excellence in facilities and educators and education, right? The facilities are welcoming. They're top-notch. Right. And our children are going there with the right mindset and the right attitudes for success. And those children become our next generation of leaders in business and in science. Right. And all the fields that we need to improve ourselves. It's doable. It's very much doable. It is. But the work is left up to us. And we're going to have to do that work of working on ourselves. And now it's time. Brother George is out on assignment this week, but we got Brother Booker coming with Being the One. Brother Booker, you're up. You're ready. Let's go. Bring it. Oh, yeah. Hey, mom. Hey, wife. Hey, friends. Let's go. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
Right here. Brother Booker, we right here. Welcome.
Brother Mom. Yes, sir. Brother, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well today. How about yourself?
I'm fine, brother. Thank you. And let me say, as always, may peace to be to all the brothers and sisters that are within the sound of my voice, brother. This week we're going to talk about the fifth characteristic of the one. Because we did last week, the one is honest with himself or herself. That's the number one characteristic. The second one, the one loves himself. The third one, the one loves his people. The fourth one, the one loves, the one believes in himself. And this week, number five, the one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. And as a people, my brother, we don't believe in ourselves, which means we don't believe in each other. And if you don't love yourself, you definitely can't believe in yourself. And we can't believe in ourselves if we say, I don't know how many times I've had conversation with brothers and sisters, and I say the one thing we need to do to solve all our problems in our communities, one thing we need to do that would eliminate every problem we have as a people, is to unite as a people. And time again, my brothers and sisters will agree with me, and said, Brother Booker, you're exactly right. But it'll never happen in our lifetimes. Now, when you say that, we're not believing in ourselves. We're not believing in each other. Think about what that says about us. When we say, you're right, we can solve all our problems as a people if we come together as a people. But then we follow that up and say, but it will never happen in our lifetimes. Man, that said, we don't understand what that says about us as a people. You know, and I'm sure Brother Kevin is going to touch on that when he talk about what we have not been taught in schools. But just think about that statement that we make over and over again. Yes, we can solve all our problems coming together as a people, but we will never see it in our lifetimes. man, that's a hard knock on us. That's no belief in oneself or your people. That's no believing. That's not believing in you, in who you are. Because if I believe in me and love myself, love my people, and honest with myself, I know that I can take strides. We individually can take strides to make sure we do come together as a people, that we do unite as a people. What's stopping us from uniting as a people? What's stopping you individually from uniting with us as a people? And we can't blame the other individual and say, because that nigga ain't never going to see it. Or they ain't going to never get it. Well, if you got it, give it to them. Make sure they see it. Explain it to it. And if that one don't want to listen, you move on to the next one. But we individually got to be. That's what the one is all about, brother. We've got to take the initiative and drive. Okay, brother, if you don't see it and you don't think it's never going to happen in your lifetime, that's on you, brother. I'm moving on because I know it's going to happen in my lifetime. At least I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure it happens in my lifetime. I want to see it happen. The one believes in his people, even if they don't believe in themselves. And it starts with belief in yourself individually first, and then we get a better understanding of it, brother. That's number five, brother, of the characteristics and qualities of the one. Believe in his people,
all right.
Even
well,
if they
I
don't
might
believe in themselves. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Booker. All right.
Yes,
I might
sir.
Be
Thank
redundant,
you,
but here's the question, because you got the empowerment
okay.
question of the week. What is the thing? That one thing, just one thing that we need to do to start believing in ourselves and each other?
It's kind of twofold, if I can. Love yourself. We have to love ourselves as individuals, love ourselves as people, which then ties into that first characteristic of being the one and then being honest with yourself. We've got to admit, again, like Brother Kavanaugh is going to touch on today, we've been miseducated. Things been withheld from us. We have to look at this world and be honest with ourselves and say, yes, sir, we've been misled, misdirected. We have to start questioning everything that we've been taught. We start reevaluating our lives and understand, like I learned in college at the University of Southern California, what caused us to be in the shape that we're in. Everything happens for a reason. It got a cause behind it. We just didn't, excuse me, mama. We just didn't become niggers. We just didn't become murderers and thieves and whores and pimps and drug dealers and drug addicts. We just didn't become those things. What caused those things to happen to us as a people? And when we be honest with ourselves and start to admitting that those things have happened and recognizing and understanding it, again, that's the first step. Self-love and being honest with ourselves, because if we accept what has happened to us and admit it like an alcoholic, those things have happened to us, then what are we going to do about it? Then what am I? See what I'm saying, brother?
Yes, sir.
How am I going to change it? How am I going to? I agree now. I admit it has happened. I see what I understand what has happened to me. I understand what has happened to my brother and my sisters. I realize, so what am I now going to do about it? I'm going to show my love for myself. I'm going to show my love for my brothers and my sisters. I won't do the things anymore that I was doing. I'm not going to say we'll never see it in my lifetime, us coming together as a people, because I know we're capable of doing it. We were together before, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure it happens before I leave here. That's how we start, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother
yes,
Booker.
Thank you, sir. Peace.
Thank you, Brother Booker. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
There it is. Being the one and the one thing you can do. You can't lose that way, right? The key is loving yourself. And if we could get back to self-love, if we could just get back to humanity, right, go out and look at the synonyms for humaneness. And if we can start to recapture those synonyms, those little things, we'll be well on our way. A little housekeeping today. 845-277-9250 is the number to call if you want to get in on the call-in line. But also, we got Slido in effect today. Slido is 125-3985. A little bit slower. Slido, slido.com. Go out there, click on Slido, S-L-I-D-O, slido.com. The number today is 125-3985. 125-3985. We love to hear from you. It's the power of empowerment, but we have to become powerful in doing the things that we need to do. And now for our lecture from Brother Kebulin. He's talking about what they forgot to tell us in school. We're getting ready to get started right now. So let's bring it home. Come on, let's welcome Brother Kebulin. Bring it, brother. Brother Kebulin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Yes, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I was trying to find this quote this sister sent me real quick, and then my computer went off. So I can find it real quick. Let me see, because it's a very good quote. Here you go, right here. For my sister, Michelle. She said, which is greater, the river that curves the stone or the stone that rides the river to its destination? Which is greater, the river that curves the stone that rides the river to its destination? So which is greater? We're talking about unity, or Brother Brooker said, you know, talk about alluded to, are we going to be unified and believe that we can get there? So we're going to ride this thing out to a destination, or we just going to keep on giving a lot of lip service, having meetings about having more meetings. Brother Kebulin, for those of you who are hearing me for the first time, I attend the Universal School of Life. It's a school where I can attend but never graduate from. I'm a student, and I'll always be a student. I'm constantly learning. Hopefully we can have equal exchange today. I spoke at a church one day, and after I spoke, a sister asked what college I went to. I answered, I don't know what the inside of a college looks like. Then I said, my bad. I have spoken at a few. Virginia Union, about six times. I was invited by staff. Harvard University, about five times. Norfolk State and Boise State once. But I don't know what it feels like to be in a college classroom setting and have people lie to me. That's why a lot of my stuff is fresh. It's new. Because I have very little to get rid of. My mother, peace be unto her, would tell you I gave her a hard time when it came to school. I said, Mom, it's A passing. She said, A is passing. How about B? B is passing. And C? C is passing. D? She said, D is passing. How about F? No. You don't want an F. F is passing. F is failing. So I said, good. I'll strive for a D. A low D. I'm just going to give them just what they need. And my mom would talk about that. She'd just blow. I mean, she couldn't believe I was thinking like that. And just pretty much thought I was crazy. When I was in high school, one of the teachers gave us an assignment. If we got the answer correct, she would give us 10 points. I could use 10 points. I studied all week long looking for the answer to her assignment. Come morning, I got to school early. I was in the hallway, and I asked the other students if they had the answer. No one seemed to have had the answer. When we got in the classroom, The teacher asked if anyone had to answer to her assignment. I didn't want to raise my hand and look like a nerd. But when no one raised their hand, I raised mine slowly. She recognized it and said, and asked me to come up to the front. She looked at my answer, and you should have seen the smile on her face. She said, "This is good. This is very good. You get 10 points. Then I responded, "But is the answer right?" And she answered, "I don't know. I was hoping you would find it." That is why, and you heard me say this before, that is why I say education has very little to do with what I give you. It has to do with what you give me. I impart information, tapping into that untapped potential in order to bring out that which is already in you. No teacher wants a student to be a carbon copy of themselves. You must go beyond that which the teacher gave you. I had to go beyond what my teacher knew. That's why I don't take questions. I consider myself a true educator. I encourage you to go out, substantiate, and bring me back something I didn't know. I used to do volunteer work at Beaumont Juvenile Correction Center, teaching young boys. And a boy came back to me and showed me a passage in the Bible. I think it was Acts. I can't think what passage it is right now. I'll go to it later on. But it mentioned Amun being a god in ancient Egyptian, something I had referenced to him earlier, right? He found it in the Bible. I didn't know it was in the Bible. He brought it back to me. That's what education is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring out that which is already in you. And that's what I tend to do today. So I will not be taking any questions, contrary to what the host may have told you. I will only respond to comments made. If I need clarification on a point, I will do that. But I will not take questions, only comments. That goes for the host. The host sometimes think they are excluded. Or sneak a question in there. But I'm about quote. If I talk, I'm used to talking 2 hours. I'm only going to talk about maybe 30 minutes. I'm used to talking 2 hours. I don't think it's fair for a speaker to talk 2 hours. And then you ask a lot of questions trying to think with their brain. When after talking for 2 hours, there should have been something in you that stimulated a certain growth. Something would cause you to bring something forth to the table. And that's what I tend to do today. I remember George Brown saying, education, at least for us, has to do with what we have to get rid of. As I mentioned earlier, I never made it to college, so I don't have a lot to get rid of. I built an institution in my home using African speakers from Lucifer Meriden's For the People series. When these speakers, such as Bruce Bridges and others, made certain remarks, I would look up what they said. Not to prove they were wrong. I knew they were right. But I would look up what they were saying to substantiate what they were saying. George Brown, the host of the Willie Lynch Report, gave me a book many years ago, I would say 30 years ago, called The Miseducation of the Negro. And just like most people, when someone give you a book, you don't read it right away. I put it on my dresser. It sat there for an entire year. Then I started to enroll in college. So I said to myself, I'm going to school tomorrow to give me some smarts. I guess it's time for me to read this book now. This book that had been sitting on my dresser for a year, I decided to read it that night. I read the book in its entirety. the next day, I went to the college admission office and asked her to refund my money. And she asked why. I said, this guy here, Carter G. Woodson, I don't know who he is, but he wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro. He said, if I go into this institution, I could be dumb as hell when I get out, and I won't be able to work for my people. Would you please give me a refund? And once I get this information, then I may come back to school to enhance what I already know, but I have to get this information first. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have not returned because I'm having so much fun listening to my African brothers and sisters like Bruce Bridges and Dr. Maxwell and others, right, that I'm sure I'm not going to get anything in their institutions that I can't get from these brothers and sisters. I only have a high school diploma. I can at least say I have more formal schooling than Mark Twain, Abraham Lincoln, John D. Rockefeller, Ma'am C. Walker, and many others. You may have seen pictures with Mark Twain in his cap and gown and think that he graduated from college. No, these are honorary degrees. When these institutions realize you went out there and you got it, without coming through our institution and being dumbed down, they said, we're going to afford you these honorary degrees. And Mark Twain got about 4 or 5 of them. So I'm in good company. The title of my presentation is What They Forgot to Tell Us in School. What They Forgot to Tell Us in School. Now, Brother Marvin pushing me to the limit. I don't want you to think that when I come to this program, I'm all prepared. A lot of times he calls me at the final hour, and I got to put something together. And I usually like do things organized, but since it's at the final hour, and I don't have an organized presentation, I'm going to do a melody of topics, a melody of topics. You've seen people sing, and they'll have 4 or 5 songs going together at the same time. So rather than this being structured, I'm going to talk about a melody of topics. The first one, the bullwhip. You should be, again, the title of my presentation today is What They Forgot to Tell Us in School. What They Forgot to Tell Us in School. The bullwhip. Most of you are familiar with the bullwhip. They used it on the back of our ancestors. What you may not know is part of the bullwhip exceeds the speed of sound, creating a sonic boom. The bullwhip was rarely, if ever, used to strike cattle. It was rarely used on any animal because it may damage the animal, but it used it on our ancestors. They created a crackling sound, something that exceeds the speed of sound was used on the back of our ancestors. Voting. When that time comes for election, many of us believe we elected the president, popular vote. The president is not elected by popular votes. Many times, the president that won the popular vote lost in the Electoral College. In 1876, Samuel Tilden, T-I-L-D-E-N, defeated Rutherford B. Hayes in the popular vote, but lost in the Electoral College. In 1888, Grover Cleveland defeated Benjamin Harrison at the polls, but again, lost in the Electoral College. What does this mean, Brother Kabbalah? If you vote for an independent candidate, and the independent candidate should win, it'd be very difficult because Republicans and Democrats had the system so structured that it's hard for an independent candidate to win unless they have enough money, like Ross Perot, who was ahead of Bush and Clinton,
But they got together, had someone on Ross Perot's daughter. He backed all the campaign. But let's say an independent candidate could win the popular vote. He could lose it in the Electoral College, where the Republicans and the Democrats reside. Khalid Muhammad told you, you can't beat them stealing. But you didn't listen to him. Warranties. WARRANTIES. Contrary to popular belief, a warranty is there to protect the buyer, the seller, not the buyer. You think it's there to protect you. It's there to protect the seller, not the buyer. The terms spell out what they will be liable for and what they will not be liable for. It also suggests you must go through arbitration because they know that people like a Kevlon will go straight to court. A lot of people not going to court, but you got people like a Kevlon will go straight to court. That's why when I was at work and I was a union steward, I said to myself, if I had a business, I would promote being in the union. Because if you're in a union and you were to go straight to court, the judge would say, don't you have a union? But go back down there, resolve it there first. And once that's exhausted, then come to court. So these things, unions, these things are warranties, for example, which I start off with, is not there to protect you. It's to protect them. The polar bear. A lot of people think that the polar bear is white. The polar bear is brown. The polar bear is white or yellowish fur with black skin. The fur might be white based on the sun, but his skin is black. Look at it. I was watching this movie called Crimson Tide with Denzel Washington and Gene Hackman. Denzel black, Gene Hackman white, Denzel young, Gene Hackman elderly. Man. So obviously there was disagreement about how they could run this submarine. And they were sitting down, and there was a moment of silence. Then all of a sudden, Gene Hackman put this cigar in his mouth. He said, speaking of horses, now they weren't talking about horses. He said, speaking of horses, did you ever see those Lipizzan stallions? You probably see them in shows. Very big, pretty white horses. You've probably seen them in a lot of shows. And there's that watching and said, what? And he said, she's shocked that he would even bring that up. And Gene Hackman says, the Lipizzan and stallions, they're from Portugal, the most highly trained horses in the world. They're all white. He's trying to enter a racial category into the conversation. And Gene Hackman said, yes, sir, they are well. Gene Hackman said they're white and they're very intelligent. And he asked Denzel Washington, had he heard of them? And Denzel Washington said, yes, sir, I've seen them. I'm aware that they're all white. They are not from Portugal. They're from Spain. And at birth, they are not white. They are black, sir. And Gene Hackman said, I didn't know that. But they are from Portugal. At the end of the movie, Gene Hackman comes to Denzel Washington, apologizes, and you're correct. They are from Spain, not Portugal. But he said nothing about them being black at birth, because they are black. Some of them are gray at birth and got white later. What we were told in school. Every year, I would get a invite to speak on the Civil War. And I had been doing it for 10 years. The way I structure each speech, I will list on a piece of paper everything I want to talk about in that presentation. I might have 25 or 30 items. Now, my speech is in that those items, but it's embedded in my subconscious mind. So I will have to go to sleep, record my dreams, because in my sleep, those items on my piece of paper are going to come together like a little puzzle, and I'll get the message. So I'm doing a speech on the Civil War. I'm listening to everybody in my presentation, U.S. Grant, who was on the Union side, general on the Union side, and became president of the United States later on. You got Jefferson Davis. You got Robert E. Lee. You got the Confederates. You got the Union. You got Abraham Lincoln. So I got all this on my speech. I'm in my bed asleep. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I said, U.S. Grant, U.S. Grant, U.S. Grant, what's the chance of someone named U.S. being president of the U.S.? So I said, man, go on back to sleep. So I went back to sleep. And the voice kept waking me up again. I said, U.S. Grant, U.S. Grant, what's the chance of somebody named U.S. being president of the U.S.? Perhaps that wasn't his name. And I couldn't sleep right. So a voice spoke to me and said, you know that's his name. What? They couldn't pull that over on American people all these years. And then another voice said, well, Bill Clinton said he smoked some weed, but he inhaled. Y'all bought that, so, I mean, why wouldn't y'all buy it? Well, I couldn't sleep until I got up and looked it up. So I said, once I look it up, then I can go back to sleep. I typed in U.S. Grant. And it came back, you mean Hiram, don't you? I'm thinking, who is Hiram? Hiram Grant. I found out his name wasn't U.S. Grant. His name was Hiram Grant. H-I-R-A-M. But he never told us that in school. Most of us on this line have heard about the 13th Amendment, 1865, that abolished slavery. Didn't abolish all slavery because there's an exception clause in there. If you are a prisoner, you are a slave. And they have used that exception clause to build private institutions to house our people. But I'm going off base now. I'm going to another area. I don't want to go there right now. Right now, I want to talk about the other 13th Amendment. Most of us are familiar with the 13th Amendment, 1865. But they're not familiar with the other 13th Amendments, 1861 and 1810. I'm going to talk about the one in 1861. And that's why I don't care for Abraham Lincoln. I talk to some conscious African people, and they get mad at me when I bash Abraham Lincoln because they don't know what I know. Now, Laurent Bennett told us about Abraham Lincoln. I'm going to add something to Laurent Bennett might not have mentioned in his books. He told us about Abraham Lincoln, but we didn't listen. We want to listen to what other people tell us who the liberators were and the emancipators. They always want to mention, I call him Dishonest Abe. Why do I call him Dishonest Abe? Because he tried to make Brother Kavanaugh a slave in 2023. I repeat, Abraham Lincoln tried to make Brother Kavanaugh a slave in 2003. Brother Kavanaugh, see, that's, I got a problem with that. See, you don't want us asking the questions, but you're going out there and just wild, making wild statements. Like Abraham was trying to put you in slave in 2003. You weren't even born. Abraham Lincoln didn't know you. Why would you make a statement like that without substantiating? I'm going to substantiate. Because that's exactly what he tried to do. The other 13th Amendment, which most people aren't familiar with, another name for it is called the Corwin Amendment. D-O-R-W-I-N. The Corwin Amendment. This amendment was geared toward, like many others before, to prevent the southern states from seceding the Union. I can't figure out how Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves when they seceded in 1860 to 1861. His Emancipation Proclamation was 1863. In other words, the South had already left the Union. If you could somehow make it to the Union side, then you were free. So he actually gave freedom to states he had no control of, because when the South seceded the Union, they got their own constitution. Oh, I could go through their constitution, but we don't have time today. Most people don't know the United States Constitution. The word slave is not in the United States Constitution until the 13th Amendment. But the Confederate Constitution, they had the word slave, Negro, African, just in case you're confused or who we're talking about. All right, here's what problem I have with Abraham Lincoln. In the other 13th Amendment, which is called the Corwin Amendment, C-O-R-W-I-N, let me see if I can get what the amendment says. I can find it real quick if you would be patient with me. If I can't find it, then I have to go off the cuff, but I did find it. The Corwin Amendment. It says, no amendment shall be made to the Constitution which will authorize or give to Congress the power to abolish or interfere within any state with the domestic institutions thereof. Domestic institution is slavery. So what it's saying is that Congress shall not amend the Constitution to abolish slavery in states where it already exists. And once that's in writing, no one can change that, because they have it in writing that Congress should not have the power to amend the Constitution to abolish slavery where it already exists. Now, Brother Kevin Long said Lincoln tried to make him a slave in 2023. Well, I was born in one of those Confederate states, Virginia. So if the other 13th Amendment had passed, which says Congress shall not amend the Constitution to abolish slavery in states where it already existed, being my ancestors were in Virginia, right? If that had passed, I would not be talking to you today. Now, it did pass. It passed the House. It passed the Senate. But it was not ratified by the required 3/4 because the South had ceded, and they didn't have the numbers for ratification. Now, here's what happened when the Lincoln bill come before Lincoln. Lincoln's first inaugural address, March 4, 1861. Now, if I didn't lay my foundation, which everybody knows that I always lay down the foundation first. If I didn't lay down the foundation, when Lincoln makes certain statements, you wouldn't know what it's in relationship to. But now you know what's in relationship to, then you see how hypocritical this man was. Lincoln's first inaugural address, write this down, go online, check up behind me. You don't have to ask me questions. You can check up for yourself to see if I'm telling the truth. Lincoln's first inaugural address, Monday, March 4th, 1861. This is Lincoln, in quotations. I understand. A proposed amendment to the Constitution. He's talking about that 13th Amendment that I mentioned earlier. I understand. A proposed amendment to the Constitution, which amendment, however, I have not seen. Hold up now. He's not seen it now. He could talk about something he has not seen. I understand a proposed amendment to the Constitution, which amendment, however, I have not seen, has passed Congress to the effect that the federal government shall never interfere with the institutions, with the domestic institutions of the states, with the slavery of the states. To avoid misconception of what I have said, I depart for my purpose not to speak of particular amendments. In the past, he said he departed from speaking on particular amendments. He said, to avoid misconstruction of what I have said, I depart from my purpose not to speak of particular amendments, as so far as to say, holding such a provision to now be implied law. He said, but now it's implied law. He's going to speak on it. Now it's implied law. It's not law because it has not been ratified by 3 or 4 states. But it passed the House and it passed the Senate. So Lincoln says, now that it is implied law, I have no objection to it being made express and irrevocable. Now, I'm not the brightest blood on a bulb on a tree, but I know express me because I used to send express mail in the post office. My mortgage is due on Monday. I would put it in the post office on Sunday, give it to one of the clerks, they'll postmark, and my mortgage payment will be there Monday morning. That's called express mail. So now Lincoln says he does not know what the bill says, but he has no problem with it being passed, expressly irrevocable. Irrevocable means it's not reversible once it's passed. So if that bill had passed, I would not be talking to you right now. I would be a slave. But it was that amendment process in the United States Constitution, not dishonest aid. It was that amendment process by 3 or 4 votes of the states that protected my black hand past, not Abraham Lincoln. We let people give us liberators. We don't think about Nat Turner and Harriet Tubman and Gabriel Prosser. All we think about is Abraham Lincoln. And I can go on longer, show his racist speeches and how he compares to a crocodile and things like that, but that's another story, right? Let's move on over to a movie I saw, and I encourage you to go look at the movie. It's on YouTube. Alexander Hamilton, Building American History. Alexander Hamilton, Building America. It's on History Channel, but it's on YouTube. It's a History Channel movie, but on YouTube. Alexander Hamilton, Building America. When Marvin opens the floor for comments, if you saw that movie, video, and you want to comment on it, please. You might have seen something I didn't see. Now, Alexander Hamilton is the first Secretary of Treasury. He is the United States' first Secretary of Treasury. What you don't know about Alexander Hamilton was born in Nevis, N-E-V-I-S, I believe. It's an island near St. Kitts. St. Kitts is where Randall Robinson went to live when he got fed up with the United States. Nevis and St. Kitts are neighboring islands. Alexander Hamilton was born in 1755. His daddy bounced out on him very early, so just him and his mother. His mother dies at 13. Alexander Hamilton is an orphan with a great mind. The people in the community teaches him economics. They realize how sharp this guy's mind is. At a very young age, they send him to the United States for education. In the United States, they send him to North America for an education. When he gets here, General George Washington takes him under his wing. This boy doesn't have a father. George Washington doesn't have any children. George Washington has ideals, but he doesn't have this penmanship and this oratorial skills that Alexander Hamilton has. So George Washington can feed something to Hamilton, and Hamilton will put that thing out there right and make it blossom and make people accept George Washington's ideals. George Washington becomes the first president of the United States. He serves 2 terms. He don't run for a third one. John Adams runs. Alexander Hamilton can run against John Adams. He was qualified. The video says, although Alexander Hamilton was qualified, he did not run against John Adams, and John Adams became the second president of the United States. As a hold up, I missed something there. Let me play that back again. It's Alexander Hamilton, although qualified, did not run for president of the United States. So John Adams becomes second president of the United States. As I still don't believe what I just heard. Let me put on subtitles. So I put on subtitles. Alexander Hamilton was eligible to run for president of the United States, but he didn't. So John Adams became president of the United States, the second president. The first thing that came to my mind was, isn't that what y'all tried to get Obama on? Say he was born in the United States? Well, how does a boy born in Nevis rise up the ladder to the first Secretary of Treasury and has a possible chance to become President of the United States? If he ran, he would have won because he is the son, not biological son, but the son of the first President of the United States, George Washington. And George Washington loved this boy. So I try to figure out how was he eligible to run. And I'll come across that later, and if I forget it, then I just forget it. You go look at the movie, and you'll find out why. Well, they're not going to say in the movie. You have to do research to find out why he was eligible to be president. But I found out, and most of you probably know, that George Washington was not born in the United States. Brother Kevin, I beg to differ. George Washington was born in Virginia. I didn't say it wasn't. I said it wasn't born in the United States. Why do we celebrate Independence Day? Independence Day marked this country's independence from Great Britain in 1776. Therefore, anyone born prior to that date was not born in the United States. George Washington, born in 1732, was born in the Virginia British colony. John Adams, born in 1735, was born in the Massachusetts British colony. I think it was born in Massachusetts, British colony. The first seven presidents, maybe eight, but I know the first seven presidents were not born in the United States. They were born in the British colony. So I asked myself, then, how was Alexander Hamilton eligible to be president when he wasn't born in the United States? So I said, maybe he was born in one of those territories of the United States. Because if you're born in a territory of the United States, you are a United States national. For example, if you're born in U.S. Virgin Islands, you are born a United States citizen. If you're born in Puerto Rico, I think it's Puerto Rico, you're born a United States citizen. So I said, maybe Alexander Hamilton was born in one of those territories. Well, to answer that question, there were no United States then. So he could not have been born in a United States territory. He was probably born in a British territory or French territory, but he was not born as part of a United States colony because there were no United States in 1755. So then I said, well, how was he eligible to be president? He was eligible to be president because there's a clause in the Constitution that says if you're a citizen at the time of the adoption of the United States Constitution, which I think it's 1789, then you'd be eligible for president. By that time, Hamilton had been here for quite some time. When I found information, it leads me to something else. So I'm thinking, if Alexander Hamilton could be president of the United States, and he would have to be a citizen. So what qualifies you as citizenship? And I won't go into that right now because it's going to be lengthy. It won't give you time to give your comments. But I had three point I wanted to cover in my presentation. I did it about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and my presentation was called AI, Artificial Intelligence Gains U.S. Citizenship. AI, Artificial Intelligence Gains U.S. Citizenship. And that speech that I gave was based on a dream I had. I had a dream. The AI, artificial intelligence, sought U.S. citizenship. A proposed bill was put on the floor of Congress. It passed the House. It passed the Senate. But it was not ratified by the required 3/4 states. Therefore, it didn't become law. AI, feeling they were being discriminated against, went on a character assassination campaign. Since AI has all our personal information in the computers, that which we kept private from the masses of the people were made public. So when I woke up from my dream, I asked myself, is it possible that AI, artificial intelligence, could gain citizenship? I have a tendency to start with a theory and then try to get some points to support my theory, because all theories are based on facts. I didn't say a theory was a fact. I said theories are based on facts. You got to have facts to support your theory. So I was thinking about the possibility of artificial intelligence gaining citizenship. So there's 3 points I had to come up with. Number one, what qualifies you to be a citizen, which I won't go over today for time's sake, and see if AI met that qualification, which it clearly does, because it went back to what qualified George Washington to be a citizen, even though he wasn't born in the United States. What qualified Alexander to be a citizen, even though he was born in Nevis? So AI, certainly we know, is born in the United States. So I satisfied that part, and it's lengthy, but I'm not going to go into it. I'll just tell you that I did satisfy that part. The second one I wanted to prove, who is a person? And this will, I will go with a quote. I substantiate everything I'm saying. I'm quoting from the Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, which defines what a person is. It says, a man considered according to rank he holds in society, with all the right to which the place he holds entitles him and the duties which it imposes. It goes on to say, the word in its natural and usual signification includes women as well as men. There you go right there. It says, a person is a man and a woman. But if you read further in the dictionary, Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, it says AI is a person. Artificial intelligence is a person, such as corporations or groups of people. This is something that just came up. They have been trying to do this for years, back since the 1800s. They've been trying to do this, right? Corporations are trying to have the same rights as human beings. No knock laws. You just can't bust into the corporation and start asking for their files without some type of warrant, right? They want some of the similar rights. They don't want all the rights of humans, but they want some of the rights. One right to be a citizen of the United States is that you can't be loyal to no other country, no other nation, only to the United States. Corporations don't want that. They want to be able to speak as much people as they possibly can. I got a friend of mine who wasn't conscious at all, but he did see this. He said, how come when I was in the military, the same people, same company that was filling my tank, my car, is the same company that was filling the enemy's car? Because capitalists, the way it is used in this nation and in the world, right, this exploitation. And these oil companies, they will go fuel your tank and fuel the enemy's tank. So that's part of the citizenship they don't want. They don't want to be just loyal to one country. They want to be able to benefit from every possible nation that they could. If you look at the history of Standard Oil with John D. Rockefeller, at some point, he would go from national to international. So corporations are not going to be loyal to just no one nation, but they do want some benefits of a citizen, a regular common citizen, in case you start coming after them. Then I looked up, what does the word born mean? Webster Dictionary defines born as to bring forth by birth. The baby was born prematurely. She was born in Germany. Mainly born in the computer age. You're probably familiar with this AI, artificial intelligence device called Alexa. Alexa was born November 6, 2014. Her mother is Amazon. Amazon was born out of the mind of Jeff Bezos, who was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is a state in the United States. Therefore, AI is a citizen, has a date of birth, has a birth date. Her parents were born here. She has established citizenship. These are things that I have come up with in the last 2 weeks. And with that said, 3 o'clock, 3:02 on the hour, I will ask Marvin to open the floor for any comments that you may have. If you want me to cover a particular subject, just put it in a comment form rather than a question form, and I hear you very well. Brother Marvin, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Brother Akabalin. Very, very informative. Very informative. All right. Now it's time for a question and comment. Well, not necessarily questions. Pardon me. Comment time. 845-277-9250 if you're listening online. And if you are, thank you very much for joining us. We would love your contribution. Also, you can join us on Slido. And Slido is simply going out to slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com, and put in the number 125-3985. It's 125-3985. Slido.com. Go out there and put your comment, right? It's wide open. Slido is open today. And we will go to the lines, and the first number on deck today is 9282. 9282, coming to you live. Do you have a question? Oh, do you have a comment for Brother Kevlin?
I'll respond to your comments. Go ahead.
Brother Kevlin, Brother Booker, how you doing, brother?
I'm fine, brother.
Yes, sir. I just want to say something to reinforce what you just said, what you just covered, brother, and did a great job of. I'm going to start with Lincoln, since you were talking about Lincoln. I have a quote from, as you say, Honest Abe, and people are not going to believe this is Abraham Lincoln talking. Lincoln said in 1858, when he was in a series of debates with a Stephen Douglas, they were at the time vying for control of the Illinois General Assembly because he was from Illinois, and he said, there is a physical difference between the white and the black races, which I believe will forever forbid the two races living together. While they do remain together, there must be the position of superior and inferior. And I, as much as any man, am in favor having the superior position assigned to the white race. He went on to say during that same debate, that speech, he said, I will say then that I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races. Now, that's Abe Lincoln in 1858. You know, we understand what Owen is Abe. And then another so-called great white man in this country. We've got a university named for him right up there in Charlottesville, Mr. Jefferson. He said, I advance it, therefore, as a suspicion only that blacks, whether originally a distinct race or made distinct by time or circumstances are inferior to the whites in the endowments of both body and mind. And I guess we see why black folk have such a hard time at the University of Richmond. That's Mr. Jefferson University. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about not knowing, because we honor these people, admire these people, Jefferson and Lincoln and all, we don't know who they really were and what they stood for and how it affected us as a people to this day. And that's what we, like Brother Kaplan was saying, we need to research, study more, find out who these people were and their mindsets when they put forth slavery and wanted to enslave us as a people. What was their purpose? What were they trying to achieve? You know, what were they trying to achieve? And we see the results of it today, but we still don't understand what they were trying to do and have accomplished. And let me say this, and I'm going to get off the line. Go ahead.
I want to comment on your comment. I want to respond to your comment when you finish. Go ahead, brother.
I was talking to some folk the other day. I said, you know, if we start thinking, brother, using our minds, and as you were talking about earlier, Brother Kevlar, analyze, research, just get proof of certain things and say, okay, let me get the facts around this. You know, we're taught in this society that at the end of our lives, when we leave this place supposedly, we're going to go to some place up in the sky called heaven. But we're also taught that you can't get there if you do certain things while you're here on earth. They call them sins. And then they list, you can't do these things. So if you don't do these things and be good while you're here, then when you die, you go to this place called heaven. But yet, when we look at the system and what we live in, all the things they told us not, they tell us we can't do to get to heaven, they show us those things. They taught us those things. In fact, they make money off of selling us those things that they tell us we can't do to get to heaven. You think about it. We don't pay attention, brothers, to what is actually being taught to us and what we're doing in our lives. And we just being pimped. And just think about it. The things they told us we can't do to go to heaven, they showed us those things. And then they make money off of selling those same things to us. It's just we don't get it. Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
All right. Now, Marvin, allow me to respond to these comments, right, because I don't have monopoly on intelligence, and I appreciate Brother Bill Booker will come forward. And I hope many will do what Brother Booker just did. So based on what Brother Booker said, all right, here's a statement from Abraham Lincoln. Stephen Douglas made this statement, right? As between the crocodile and the Negro, I take the side of the Negro. But as between the Negro and the white man, I will go for the white man every time. This is Stephen Douglas, all right? This one going against Abraham Lincoln. Now, Abraham Lincoln, he remarks on that, right? Probably at home later on, he think about it later on. But Abraham Lincoln referred to the remark. He said, I believe this is a sort of proportion. This is a sort of proposition in proportion, which may be stated thus. So he's going to restate it, right? He said, as the Negro is to the white man, so is the crocodile to the Negro. As the Negro may rightfully treat the crocodile as a beast or reptile, so the white man may rightfully treat the Negro as a beast or reptile. This Honest Abe said this. Y'all call him Honest Abe. This Honest Abe said this. And Brother Booker mentioned Thomas Jefferson, right? Thomas Jefferson, in the original draft of the Declaration of Independence, remember, there's a difference between the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. Declaration of Independence is this country's independence from Great Britain. The United States Constitution, it's this country's biggest contract that you have to go under, right? But in the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson accused King George for imposing slavery on the colonists. But he took it out. Because how are you going to charge King George for slavery if you can have slaves for yourself? So I'm just adding on to what Brother Book was saying, right? That this Honest Abe and Thomas Jefferson, these are people that they put up to us to look up to, right? You got to study these people. And this Honest Abe said, if I could preserve the Union without freeing the slaves, I would. If I could preserve the Union, I would free the slaves. That don't negate the fact that he said, if I could preserve the Union without freeing the slaves, I would. I mean, he's saying things out of his own mouth. We're not listening to what his actual words. Go ahead, Brother Marvin, with this comment.
All right. Thank you, brother. Let's slip over to Slido for a minute. Slido.com. Let me give you the number again if you're interested. 125. That's 125. Slido.com, by the way. 125-3985, Slido.com. Here we have our first question. Well, comment is, how do we bring out what is not in our people? What is in us is indoctrination, unless you are speaking spiritually. How do we bring out?
You know what? I would respond. That's a question. But I will respond to that. I will respond to that because that's a question. That's not a comment. But I will respond to that because that's not really something he can go out or whoever asked that can go out and find the answer to. When I see something and I know something is a fact, and then I see something that contradicts the fact, I got a wall in front of me. My actual conclusion is that something must be wrong. So if you tell me Joshua stopped the sun, the question I would ask, first of all, is the sun moving? The sun is moving. The sun is pulling the sun, the moon, the stars in the sky, pulling everything, right? You know, the sun is pulling the moon and other planets. Everything is just moving. So if you said Joshua stopped the sun, that means everything else got to stop. If I got my ball attached to my finger, and that ball is attached to a rubber band on my finger, and I'm spinning that ball around on top of my head, if I stop, that ball is going to fall to the ground because of Earth's gravitational pull. But in the case where the sun stops, and you got the moon, you got all these planets, they said nine, I think I'm, you know, going around it, right? If the sun stops, automatically it's going out into space. So to answer the question, how you gonna go within and come out with something new if what's in you is miseducation? Do the math. If what, for example, when I was a child, my mama said Santa Claus coming down the chimney to bring us some toys. We ain't got no chimney. So if we ain't got no chimney, the obvious conclusion is Santa Claus is not coming down a chimney. So have a list, have a piece of paper, draw a line out of a piece of paper, what you know to be true and what you believe. What's factual, and so when something contradicts what you know to be true, first of all, do your research. Do research on certain things. If you got something that you know to be true, did somebody tell you something that contradicts that, then the obvious conclusion would be it's allegory, it's metaphor, it's a deeper meaning. For example, somewhere in the Bible, someone said, you must be born again. And to answer this person's question, right, how do you go inside if you're miseducated? How do you go inside and bring out something new if you're miseducated? If somebody said you must be born again, and you know I cannot take Brother Booker, put him back in the womb he came out of, then there must be a deeper meaning to that. And so what happens is, if you came back and said, well, I'm going to try to get back in my mama's womb, the wise man not going to give you no more information. But if you're like a Brother Kavanaugh or Brother Booker, Marv, you know what? This must have a deeper meaning, right? I'm going to go search for that meaning. Then more will be given to you. So anytime you find something that's a contradiction, you bet it's an underlying meaning to it. It's not to be taken literally. Go ahead, brother. Next one.
All right. That makes sense. Great point, brother. All right. Our growth and potential have been stunted. How do we develop our people? For many of us are not simply ready. What would you suggest, Brother Kevin, of our development? Where do we start? What do we do to develop our people? Who just,
well,
listeners are stunted.
But everybody ain't gonna be ready. Everybody's not gonna be ready. Historically, we never moved as a people all at once. One person was stepped out there as a sacrificial lamb. That's historically. Yeah. You know what I mean, I don't know about other group of people. For us, it had to be a Malcolm. It had to be a King. It had to be a Fannie Lou Hamer. It had to be a Gabriel Prosser. It had to be a Nat Turner. One person would step out there, the others would follow. But the problem has been is that if you fail, it'd be hard for you to get some followers the next time. So you better have your program together, because if you fail, you'd be hard, it's far harder to get followers the next time. That's why after Nat Turner, they hung him and hang everybody that thought like him and they follow him. There's another thing, too, I wanted to mention, too, that we didn't get in school. Nat Turner was going to Jerusalem to liberate his people. Now, you got Nat Turner, and a lot of our people were reading the Bible. I don't know how people read the Bible today, turn the other cheek, because their brothers and sisters read the Bible right. Nat Turner was going toward Jerusalem to liberate his people. Now, when you go online, you're not going to find it, so you can think Brother Kavanaugh is lying. You can't find it because they changed the name to Courtland, Virginia. So you type in a line, don't type in Jerusalem like in the Bible, type in Jerusalem, Virginia. It's going to direct you to Courtland, Virginia, because they changed the name from Jerusalem to Courtland. Now, I'm guessing they try to erase anything got to do with the Bible because the black people back then used the Bible for liberation. And I can't substantiate that. And every time I look up the information, they send me down the back roads. They want to say, we changed the Courtland because they had a lot of courthouses here. They'll give you any type of explanation if you buy it. But I think if they did it based on Nat Turner, I just can't prove it. But what they didn't tell you in school is Nat Turner was heading toward Jerusalem, Virginia, and Jerusalem, Virginia has been changed to Courtland, Virginia. All right, next one, brother.
All right.
Yeah, I do the best I can to answer. I do the best. I know people want to ask questions, so I do the best I can to answer them. Go ahead.
Here's the question. Did they really forget to tell us, or was it intentional? The topic
what happened,
they forgot to tell us. Go ahead, brother.
I'm glad that I don't get in. And brother Marvin called me, and brother he called me today. They said, would you be on the program? I said, but I got to put something together. He said, what's the title? I said, I don't know. I got to think of something. So I'm thinking of different titles. And I asked myself that very question, right? Did they really forget? I know they didn't forget. So I started to change the title, but I didn't change the title. I was going back. I had 3 or 4 different titles. That was the one I ended up with, right? But no, they didn't forget. I think it was intentionally done.
All right. The next question here, statement is, clever point, brother. Not born in the United States is absolutely correct. So I think the position that you took on that being a citizen of the United States at that point in time is very cleverly stated. Absolutely right. So did you want to comment on that? Because
I will come on that. Listen very carefully now. Listen very carefully. If you're born in Virginia, you're a citizen of the United States. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're not necessarily a Virginian. You could be a North Carolinian. You could be a South Carolinian. You could be a Floridian. Now, if you're a citizen of the United States, you're automatically a U.S. national. But if you're a U.S. national, you're not necessarily a citizen of the United States. Let me slow down and break it down to you. If you're born in Washington, D.C., although D.C. is now a state, if you're born in Washington, D.C., you're a citizen. You're born a citizen of the United States. You don't have all the rights that those in a state has, but you have certain rights. But you're born a citizen of the United States. If you are born in a U.S. national, Puerto Rico, I think it was Guam and the Virgin Islands, I think it's 3 of them. I can't remember them, right? U.S. Virgin Islands. You are born a citizen. You're a U.S. national, and you're born a citizen of the United States. If you were born in a U.S. Somalia, I think it's called American Somalia, U.S. Somalia, you're a U.S. national, but you're not a citizen of the United States. What's the difference is? If you're born in the United States, if one is the 50 states and you're a citizen, you got a little more rights. And you got rights within your state, and you got United States rights, federal and state rights. If you're born in D.C., you don't have all the representation that those in the 50 states have. If you're born a U.S. national in one of the territories of the United States, territory is just a nice way of putting it. Back then, we called it colonies. Territory is just a nice way of putting it, right? Yeah, every now and then you hear about Puerto Rican, do you want to be a state or do you want to be a state? It's back and forth. There are certain rights you get when you become a part of the United States that you don't get if you're just a U.S. national. I think it's called America Samoa, I think. Samoa, S-O-M-O-A. I think it's America Samoa. They are U.S. nationals, but they're not born a citizen of the United States. So I guess the difference is, you know, how much protection is given you, what you have to do, are you eligible to vote, do you have to enroll in the military, do you have to be part of the military, certain things like that goes into play. So when you, well, based on that, right, that's why I went back to Hamilton. What qualifies him to be a citizen? What qualifies George Washington to be president of the United States and Obama not being president of the United States when you say Obama wasn't born here, but George Washington wasn't born here? Well, it goes back to at the signing of the United States Constitution in 1789, they were citizens at that particular time. I try to slow down, but I'm looking at the clock and I know we ran out of time, so hopefully I didn't go too fast and I make myself clear. Go ahead with the next question.
No, you're doing great, brother. All right. And this, I think, connects to the statement that you made. I think Brother Booker was talking about Thomas Jefferson and some other people. Well, you made a point that we'll follow up. We need to change that focus from the rights of a person to rights of humanity. And so I think they're trying to speak to the difference between the rights of a person and how we must reclaim our humanity. What are your thoughts on that?
The person who asked the question, what's the difference between humanity and a person, be the man and a woman, since the person asked the question?
Okay, but you said AI.
The question I asked in a vacuum. The question I asked in a vacuum. So if the person asked the question, what's the difference between, you got to change it from person to humanity, then they explained to me what's the difference between a person, which is a man and a woman, and humanity. If they can tell me what's the difference between the two, then I will do the best I can answer that question.
Okay, and that's related to artificial intelligence, right? So can a computer or a program be considered a person?
Yes, it said, yeah, that's a Black's Law Dictionary. It's a by definition, a person is a man, a woman, and artificial intelligence. Like Black's Law Dictionary definition. That's what a person is. As a matter of fact, it's probably the same thing if you go into another dictionary. Artificial intelligence has been given the name person. I mean, they're considered persons. Now, when that started, that'd be a question for those who are listening to research and bring that back to the body. When did it start where artificial intelligence has been? I do remember 10, 15 years ago, they said corporations would now be persons, right? But when did they start putting that definition in the dictionary? When did they start establishing this? But I do know that they have been trying to get rights as common people for years, back to the 17th Amendment. I think it was 17th Amendment. They have been doing this for a long period of time. But when they start putting their word in the dictionary to define artificial intelligence as a person, that'd be homework for those who are on this line to look that up and find out when that happened and bring it back to the body the next time we get together.
All right. And I do want to say thank you so much, brother, for coming in at the last minute. I do want to apologize to you. You are on schedule for next week, but we had a mix-up between on my part, between you and Brother Maxwell. And so we'll have Dr. Maxwell next week, and hopefully we can get Brother Kevin Land back to do another segment sometime in October or November, if you're good with that. So, and to close out, right,
next week.
When you talk about what they forgot to tell us in school, What would be your final comments in reference to educating our people under the system that we're currently living in?
Well, I want to, what they got to tell us in school, I want to break it down into all aspects of people's culture. What they've got to tell us in history, politics, economics, social order. But since at the last moment, I was all over the place. And some of those things I talked about, like the bullwhip would fall on the socialization. Of course, Lincoln and them would fall on the politics, and other things would fall on history. I wanted to categorize this when you organize, when you actually speak at the last moment, you kind of impromptu it too, and you're all over the place. But just like I just now forgot your question. What was your question again?
How do we understand what it is that we've been taught, right? What you said, what they forgot to tell us in school.
I got you. Dr. John Henry Clark went to talk to Dr. Schomburg. It was during his lunch hour. He said, "Dr. Schomburg, tell me about Black history." And Dr. Clark and Dr. Schomburg said, "What you call Black history is the missing pages of world history. Study your teacher, study your masters, and find out why you are left out of the history book." I told a sister last week that every time I listen to a song where I have a tendency to Africanize it, every time I read a book or anything, right, I had to put my African spin on. She said, "That's not what you're doing." She said, "You're putting the African in what they took out." I said, "Wow." You know what I mean? You talking about reading the Bible, right? Like you got an African version of the Bible, right? Or you Africanizing the Bible? No, you putting back in what they took out. So if you start studying your teacher, you study your masters, sooner or later, these words will come up. Certain things will come up, and you can relate it to your African study. Because you got Bruce and Maxwell and me and others on one side give you an African thing, and you're going to study the European thing. Now you can see certain names come up that we've already gave you. You say, "Wait a minute. Why am I hearing this over here when I heard Bruce talk about it when he was in Africa?" Because you got in school the diluted version, and now you're getting the going back to the source.
Wow, that's pretty good. Thank you, Brother Kebulan. Thank you for standing in the gap at the last minute.
Thanks for inviting.
Brother George will be back next week. You did a great job, actually. I didn't see in my mind that you were going fast. You laid it down like you always do. Very intelligently and very astutely. So thank you so much for
that, thanks for the comments and the questions.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Great show. And so as we close out for this week, right, there are a lot of thinking and talking points that the brother laid down. Do your due diligence to go back and dissect and do the research, right? Look up those items and those articles and see what you can find. Educate yourself. Knowledge is power. And lastly, begin with loving yourself. Love your culture. Love your people, right? Learn to do your research. Learn to understand things like allegory and metaphors and why they're being used, right? And then see how it's being applied to the knowledge that you currently have so you can build on that. Next, always learn to ask questions, right? But ask this question: am I ready to grow? Am I ready to change? Am I actually open to learning new things as a lifelong learner, right? Improving myself as I continue to think about how I think and what I've been taught and what they taught us to feel and what to think and what to believe about ourselves. Next, study your history and become the best person that you can be. It is African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment for the African-American community. It is our job to educate ourselves, to grow ourselves, to change ourselves, and to do this work one day at a time. Thank you, Brother Kebulan. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. Do the work of working on yourself. Peace and blessings. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah.